You're listening, of course, to the closing market report on a Friday afternoon. It's the first day of March 2013. I am Todd Gleason on the phone line with us from Lafayette, Indiana, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, Mike Zuzulo. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Happy Sequestration Friday, Todd.
Did it make a difference in the marketplace today at all?
Well, I kind of felt like Roy Rogers. He said, "I don't make jokes, I just watch the government and report the facts."
Well, factually, what happened in the marketplace?
I think outside markets probably did pick up a little bit of sequestration jitters because we went into the press conference about 10 o'clock Eastern time, and the president and the House and Senate leaders probably expected not to do much, and that's exactly what happened when they came out around noontime Eastern time, and then there was a short press conference by the president. And I think through that time period, we saw the dollar, by and large, continue to strengthen and remain very, very strong. The euro currency, the Japanese yen, and some of the emerging market currencies continued to soften and weaken as that went on. We're back to kind of a safe haven buying at this point. Bonds are up about 20, and the dollar's up about 0.5%. Gold is weaker, but I think they're trying to do the safe haven through the U.S. treasuries and U.S. currencies, and that probably played the greatest role in the copper and the beans today.
Is your opinion that the market looked at it and said, well, the U.S. economy is the best one on the planet that we can actually invest in, so we're just going to stay put? Or
that's right. Because China's economy and their data came out pretty poor on their purchasing managers index, and the great U.K. economy indicators suggest they're going to go into a triple-dip recession. Brazil also didn't get very good economic news as well. So you hit it on the nose. It's the pig with the lipstick on at this point as far as the U.S. economy.
Let's hope it's not the state fair too. Could be lots of things happening along the fairway there. Hey, let's talk about other things that have been happening. We finished up the month of February. We've set some crop insurance numbers. And now producers have some decisions to make between now and the 15th of the month.
Yeah, we got 565 on the Dease corn. That's down 3 cents from last year, and Nove beans up 32 cents from last year at 1287. I think that's probably where the producers are looking at the calendar, seeing that it's March. They're probably looking at the weather, seeing that it's cool and it's wet, and they're looking at the most recent NOAA forecast that got changed just yesterday on their one-month outlook, and taking the warmer than above normal temperatures out of the middle part of the country. That runs in sympathy or with agreement with some of the private consultants that I work with, that we are going to have a slower transition than last year, and that the Delta states in particular may be wetter and cooler, one or the other, or maybe both. And I think that's where producers, you know, we were in Belleville earlier this week at one of the panel meetings that Wiffle set up for us and through the Farm Bureau, and it sure seemed to me after talking to several producers after that meeting that they're very ready, at least in that area because they have a lot of soft red wheat. They're below I-70. They're very ready with disappointing corn-on-corn yields to jump into the beans if they need to based upon their planning. Quite a few guys have made comments this past fall, whether you're north or south of I-70, that they've left some of their nitrogen off for fall application, expecting that maybe they may have to go to more beans in case the weather or the seed availability doesn't come through.
Can you go back to the southern part of the United States, cooler weather, wetter weather? They, in the deepest parts of the South, Louisiana and other places, might really be thinking about planting. Texas, I know, as well, corn, soybeans, maybe switching out of cotton acres. But they'll have some problems with the kind of weather, at least in the Delta regions, that they've been working through.
Yeah, I'm real excited about Tuesday's beef house meeting because that's one of the hallmarks of what you guys set up with John Bondurant coming and talking about, you know, the big expected shift of cotton acres going into corn in that area and the sensitivity to the timeliness of the planting because, you know, like, for instance, the University of Missouri Extension fellow that we both know down in Sykeston, Missouri, wrote me an email this week and said, look, March 20 to April 20th really is our window for the lighter soils. After that, we don't want to be crunching and planting corn as we get to the end of April, because if we are, we're going to be under the worst heat of the summer, and we just aren't really wanting to do that. Even the irrigated ground, we don't want to do that because the heat can be so intense and the overnight lows can be so high down there. So I think we're under some pretty significant issues, and those issues are probably magnified more because that March delivery process this week did indeed show us that we are tight on corn. Pretty amazing to see a 740, 745 cash price for nearby corn at this point in time, basis has stayed over and pretty much steady while the market has rallied 20-some cents this week. So nice to see that type of movement, and I think it's just indicative that actually new crop corn acres are needed as much as new crop bean acres at this stage.
All right, so let's talk about the new crop as it's related to the old crop and this discussion with southern Louisiana. So the Delta region, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, maybe parts of Texas, will deliver corn earliest this year. Producers may be in our part of the world thinking, hey, if I can really put my corn in the ground, I might just get a really big premium for the earliest harvested corn in our part of the world, mm-hmm. in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa.
Right.
But the question, frankly, is whether that premium will be based off a much, much lower price, since if we have a normal year, we will have a whole lot more corn and maybe as much as a 2 billion bushel carryout staring us out in the face for the end of the 2013-14 marketing year.
Yeah, in essence, what you're saying, Todd, is the producer, and I think rightfully so, doesn't see the premium out there to take the chance. And then you throw on top of that the issue of not being able to replant with seed of high enough quality. How many people have you talked to and I've talked to in the seed industry in the last 30 days saying 96 million on USDA's ag outlook is probably closer to being right, because we're getting more and more seriously worried about being able to sell enough good quality seed to get to 96 million acres. So you really can't afford a second replant at this stage of the game, and the producer realizes that because he's getting that communicated to him from his seed dealer as well. So I think this is where it goes back to that premium that is not in place for new crop corn. And I suspect that after the USDA Ag Forum numbers and the negative demand that we've been pushing into this corn for the last 2 months, I think we're already probably trading a 1.7 to 1.8 billion bushel corn carryover. So I think the path of least resistance in the next 30 days, if we can keep our exports robust and USDA doesn't give us any bearish whammos or bearish bombs in their report next Friday, is higher, with the December corn probably being the one that takes the lead when it comes right down to it.
Right, so you're saying a 1.7-1.8 carryout, December corn now at 5.56 and three quarters, that'd be a pretty good price for that big a carryout, don't you think?
Exactly, but that's where it goes back to where the world numbers are versus the U.S. numbers. You know,
okay.
we've been, as an industry, as a trade, have been so focused upon the U.S. numbers, and the world numbers are still historically tight at this point. And I think that's where the delivery process and what we've seen this week has confirmed that to us. Now, having said that, in the weekend email that I'm going to put out to my clients and subscribers, I'm going to make a real big case and push the idea you get back to 740, 750 cash corn. That was the target to get the rest of the 2012 crop sold. We've got a basis premium right now, what I think is a futures discount right now. Maybe let the rest of the 2012 corn go here now that we're in March and replace with some long options and take the unlimited risk in the bin off the table, the strong basis grab, and replace it with limited risk on the futures market.
Thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday next week.
Looking forward to it, and Can't wait to see everybody there. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Bye-bye, Mike. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.